Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown, helping you get your finances in order and get you the credit you deserve. The Credit Connection, here on KSMA, 1240 AM, 99.5 FM, and 1240KSMA.com. Now, from High Tech Lending, David Brown.
Welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. At The Credit Connection, we want to connect you to the credit you want and deserve for your home, business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, reverse and forward mortgages. You name it, if it has to do with credit or money, we'll discuss all the aspects. We're a financial literacy course on steroids with different topics each week. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave your question or comment. You can also call us at 805-686-2321. I want to speak out today about our veterans listening. First, to our veterans listening today, thank you very much for your service. And second, you just got a great New Year's gift. Now there's no reason not to use your VA home loan benefit for your home. President Trump just took off all lending limits, regardless of other county limits, for VA lending. You still need to qualify for the loan, but the property value is now the maximum loan amount. The details are still not formulated, but in January of 2020, you are now able to finance your million-dollar property with a million-dollar VA loan. If you have this VA home loan benefit, or will have it by 2020, start planning now. Give me a call or email me for assistance with this great program. And again, thanks for your service. I told you a few weeks ago that rates were on their way down, and now they are at their best levels they've been for the past 2 years. If you want a free mortgage review specific to your current mortgage, give us a call for a strategic analysis. You may wish to have some debt consolidation thrown into the mix. That's fine. This is also applicable for those thinking of a reverse mortgage. Today's program is going to be considerably different as we learn the specifics of charitable giving and what a win-win it is. When you're selling your real estate, our guest has assisted his clients give significant charitable gifts and put more money in their own pockets in the process. Our guest today will give us the insider's look at the many benefits of charitable giving. Today in the studio, we welcome Joel Baker. Joel is a published author on this subject, and his book is titled Giving Transforms You, 52 Ways Giving Transforms You, Your Family, Your Business, and Your Community. Joel, welcome to our show.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
Thanks for being here. And Joel, your book is phenomenal, and I'm glad you gave me a copy. Giving Transforms You is an awesome book. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, one of my business coaches, Scott Kiffer, came up with the idea because in our financial service practice, we incorporate charitable giving as one of the key assets. You know, we have true wealth that's made up of more than just a monetary wealth. It's also made up of social wealth. And, you know, we either pay taxes in social wealth, or we have the alternative. We can make charitable donations, charitable gifts, and in lieu of paying the taxes. So in our practice, all of our clients either have their own own foundation, or they're giving to a public foundation with donor-directed funds. And so the book was designed to giving different ideas. Or each idea has a one-page chapter, and we have over 52 ideas that are easy to understand and just to motivate people, motivate our friends and clients on the advantages of giving and how it not only helps society, but can help them financially.
How do you find charitable giving?
First, I like to go back and define or understand what our clients' passions are. You know, if they could change the world, what would be the one thing, what's the most important thing? And we all have a passion, or we all have an idea of what, if one thing was done, it would help make this a better world for all us to live in. And whatever that one thing is, than finding foundations, charities, like thinking people that are doing that, and figure out how to make the gift or help them. And we found in our planning and all of our planning process is that the more we give, actually the more we get to keep and the more we can pass on to our future generation.
That is a true win-win.
It is.
Let me tell you a little story about my own kids and giving. My birthday is within a week of Christmas, so it's kind of tough. Everybody gets me a twofer anyway. But my kids were about 7 to 10 years old and asking me what I wanted for Christmas. I really didn't need anything and told them that I would like them to gather whatever they would spend on my Christmas gift and put it in the poor box at church on Christmas Day. I was surprised and pleased to tell you when they generated about $160 to put in the poor box on Christmas Day. I was very pleased and thought that was really huge. If I knew they could raise that much, I might have thought something else, but maybe I would have had a pretty nice gift, but I was delighted that they did that. The question is, at what age should you start giving or charitable giving?
That's a great question, David, and we encourage our clients to start talking with their kids at the age of 8 or 9 years old, because you know at that time Christmas becomes what can I get? What can I get? And so we help our clients create a social. Each kid has their own social fund, and so when the child gets an allowance, we encourage the child to put 10% into their social fund and another 10%. And a rainy day fund, trying to teach them good habits in the future. Mm-hmm. And then when Christmas comes around, we encourage the parents to look at what's in the social fund because they may be mowing lawns, they may be doing other things to earn money. And, you know, with our kids, that social fund grows to $400 or $500. I match it. So now there's $800 to $1,000. And so then they start looking at what they're passionate about and start talking to people. And so, mm-hmm. Like when our son was 10 years old, he started interviewing, going around, and he went to the local animal shelter and talked to them about what do they do if he gave them $1,000. And they gave a program, and he talked to a social organization in the valley called the Vikings, mm-hmm. and they made him a presentation what they would do. And he talked to several others, and he finally said, I'm going to give my $1,000 this year to the animal shelter. And so the animal shelter is a couple blocks from our ranch, and on his way home, walking home from school, he went by to see in February how his $1,000 are doing. And they didn't even know who he was, and he was devastated.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the next year, they didn't get any money. The Vikings got him money, and he got a plaque and honored and everything, and yeah. So he felt a lot better about his gift. It was false. Sure. So I would encourage any of the people working with charities out there to embrace and celebrate when you get donations from anybody, but especially young people, mm-hmm. How much good it's doing. So we found that by starting young and having kids starting to think about others, especially around Christmas time, it makes a big difference later when they're doing financial planning with their siblings and how to help each other out. They're more they learn those principles by giving at a younger age, just cool. Like your kids did.
Yeah, it's been a great lesson, and I wish everybody could do that. What's the difference between a charity and a nonprofit for our listeners?
Well, a non for profit is a legal name for 501c3, which is under the IRS code to get the right. A charity is usually considered a nonprofit, so they legally can give receipts for taking donations, so the person giving the money can get a tax deduction.
So typically, all charities are nonprofits, but not all nonprofits are charitable.
Yeah.
How do I find the right charity to help?
Well, that's also an interesting question. The first thing is that we are saying is, what are we passionate about? What is your passion? You know, like my passion is athletics, polo, skiing. And so when I want to, if I want to help the US ski team, then because I'm interested in skiing, then I can go to the internet and find out what the U.S. ski team, what their budget is, what they need money for, et cetera, or same thing with polo. So the first thing is take what your passion is. It's animals, horses, dogs, people with AIDS, and check it out. Do a real research on the internet to make sure, see what their budgets are. And I would suggest that anybody, any charity that is has an overhead of over 15-20% of the contributions probably is not the best use of the money. Right. You know, the charities that can keep things, have a lot of volunteers and work well, they need a ongoing charity needs a professional staff to be able to keep things going.
Right.
But they also survive and do well with a volunteer staff they have too. And so we encourage our clients, we're always looking for how do we get the most money in the ground. If we give the money, if we do our charitable giving or our social giving through the U.S. government by paying taxes, we end up having 80% going to bureaucrats and maybe 20% going to the,
right,
the needy.
Right.
If we want to take care of feed the hungry through people helping people, we turn it around. 80%, 80-90% goes to the,
right,
the people and only 10% for the
right,
managing it.
Okay. There are different types of gifts: time, treasure, talent. Talk about time. Volunteering on a board or giving of your time is one form of donation.
And it's a very important part of the donation. You know, it's some people are fortunate enough they have the time and the passion to help the charity reach their goals. Others do not have the time but have the capital to help people get, and the combination of those, and then others can do both, and which is ideal. But both are just as equally important to the charity. Somebody willing to volunteer for the time, and also somebody willing to is able to financially.
Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Joel Baker on charitable giving.
This just in, breaking news from David Brown of American Senior.
Considering a reverse mortgage? Listen, FHA is changing this program October 2nd. FHA is increasing their upfront mortgage insurance premium 4 times the current cost, which means after September, your $200,000 FHA reverse mortgage insurance will increase dramatically. FHA is also reducing the principal limit factors, lowering the amount you can take from your reverse mortgage. If you're age 62, your principal limit is going to reduce from 52.4% to 41%. So if your home is worth $500,000, your available loan amount could drop $57,000. Act now. Call David Brown at American Senior at 686-2321 before this program changes. Get the most out of your reverse mortgage. Call 805-686-2321. American Senior, licensed by the Department of Oversight under California Law Mortgage and Lending Act, NMLS number 7147, California number 34130937.
Welcome back to the second part of our show, The Credit Connection. If you're just now joining us, we are speaking with Joel Baker on charitable giving. We'd talked about different types of gifts: time, talent, and treasure. Tell me more about the, we spoke of time. How about the treasure part of this? Checks, securities, real estate, life insurance, other items that people can donate.
Well, of course, charities love cash, and you get a nice deduction for the cash. But most people, at least most of our clients, will end up giving appreciated stock or appreciated real estate. So they buy a stock for $1 a share, and it's really done well. Now it's worth $20 a share. Well, they can donate that to their favorite charity and get a $20 a share deduction, up to certain maximums depending on their income stream, and so the charity can sell it, not pay any capital gains, and the charity has the $20 a share, and the client got a deduction for that, and it really for their $1 investment. Another alternative though is if the client needs income during their lifetime, then we'll set up something like called a charitable remainder trust. And there are various types of charitable remainder trust, but basically you give the asset, you put it into a trust, the trust sells it, the ultimate beneficiary is going to be a charity at your passing, and then it can pay a lifetime income to you, or income certain or at a percentage, depends on what works out best for you. A lot of different options. So you can take that that $1 stock, sell it for $20, start receiving income on it. Let's say it's 5% a year of that for the rest of your life, and you will pay a capital gains on that income, but you pay no capital gains. You'll pay some tax on the income, but you pay no capital gains tax on the sale of the stock. And
to the trust.
To the trust, sure. Yeah, because okay. The trust has the monies, and it's paying you income. You can have it set up. We have clients who sell their businesses by getting out of business, and so we'll put maybe 80% of the business into a charitable remainder trust. And so when they sell the business, 20% they goes out outright, but because of the deduction they got for setting up the charitable remainder trust, it shelters the tax on that 20%. So they get that 20% tax-free, and then they have the 80% sitting in their charitable remainder trust that can pay them income, and they can decide when they want to take the income. They may have a buyout, and they may not need income for 5 or 6 years. So we put it in what we call wait a while, and then when they start needing the income, they can do a makeup clause and get a large sum, or it can be spread out over time, and it just depends on what works out best for them. And it's a very profitable for the charity, and it's a part of their deferred giving campaign is encouraging people to do very popular charitable remainder trusts.
A lot of ways to, you know, benefit everybody with the taxes and the gift itself.
Yeah. There's another one called a charitable lead trust. And a charitable lead trust is where you give you put the property into a trust, and the income from that trust goes to charity for a certain period of time. It may be 10, 15 years. There's an actuarial table that tells us. But at the end of that time, that property then passes on to the client's next generation free of all estate taxes or anything else. So when the before they raise the estate tax deductions to as high as it is now, or even with it as high as it is, we have all of our clients have what we call a testamentary charitable lead trust built into their will. So if the client is worth, over the deduction, right now the deduction is over 14 million now. So let's say the client has $15 million being passed. Well, the IRS would tax that million at 42%, 45% in some cases in California. Well, if they had it in a testamentary charitable lead trust, if they had the option, that million could go into the trust, income going to charity for 10, 15 years, and then that full million could go on to the client or the client's estate, go on to the client's estate free of all taxes.
Wow.
Called charitable lead trust. So there's a lot of ways of deferring and avoiding capital gains and income taxes. And so I would encourage your listeners to seek out good accounting, CPA and legal advice on alternatives that clients have, and just actually paying the tax.
Yeah, no, nobody. I'd rather give it to a charity than give it to Uncle Sam. So, what about the talent part? Is that like gifts in kind or professional services that you have that you can also give?
Yes, you can give. You have gifts in kind, and that gets a little. How do you, the IRS looks at it very closely. We defer that to CPAs to work on those things because it is rather questionable how much and how much it flies. But, if a professional or you're working a charity and putting a lot of time into the time, you can get some credit for your, how much your time's worth and, take a deduction for that.
Okay. What is strategic giving?
Strategic giving is where you're planning on giving monies. You have certain passions. Let's say save the whales or horse safety, or I'm using animals right now as an example. And so you're strategically planning on giving to those particular causes and fighting charities that take care of that.
Okay. We've all heard someone say, give till it hurts. But a scout friend of mine I was working with said, I should give until it feels obscenely good. What is a good range for giving, whether it be for income tax maximum deductions, or where do you start as far as allocation of gifts?
I like the one until it feels good.
Yeah, it feels real good, you know.
It's interesting. I have a client, a 35-year-old client, and 30 years ago, he was with a high-tech company and making these big stock options. And when you cash in stock options, there's no way to really shelter that. So what we were doing with some of his stock options is donating some of those monies to a foundation. And it happened to be a private foundation because of the size of how much was going in. And so and now that he's retired and not doing anything, he has about $3 million in this foundation. And he's a ex-Navy pilot. And every year he and his wife interview down in San Diego and are giving monies to wounded warriors and various Navy causes. Mm-hmm. And they just did a big a give to a foundation in Mammoth that's supporting wounded warriors. And he says, you know, when I set this up and when I retired, I looked at all this money I had in the foundation. It's not mine anymore. I can manage it, but not mine. I wasn't quite so sure I did the right thing. But 10 years after doing this and giving, it's the best thing I ever did. And it makes us feel so good that we're doing this. And by the way, they can pay the foundation can pay the directors. They happen to be the directors a reasonable fee for managing and giving monies away. Mm-hmm. So it's not only they're getting paid as a salaried employee by the foundation, but the main thing is they just feel so much better about everything they're doing. But when they first set it up or looked at how much they had given away, they weren't quite sure they were that feeling that great until they saw the results of it.
Right, right. That's all good and well for personal, but how can a business give, and how is it different for a business enterprise? I'll give you an example. I was with GMAC Mortgage, and I was on the giving board, and they had a foundation, and every year we'd give about $1 million away. But we always looked at it as an extension of our marketing. We wanted to say, what kind of signage were we going to get at the golf tournament that benefited Habitat for Humanity? So it wasn't pure charity. There was a little bit of a self-preservation there, getting the recognition and increasing your brand as a business. That was, and I see that with sponsorships and things of that nature as well. So.
Well, again, a corporation is like individuals. You know, you have the option. They have the option of paying it in taxes or paying it in charitable giving. And most corporations find that they get a lot bigger bang for their buck with their social capital by giving it to foundations and getting the community relations. Not only community relations, but by just seeing their causes get be done more efficiently. And then giving it to Uncle Sam and have 80% go to the bureaucrats.
Okay, that makes sense. Hey, Joel, what are you seeing your customers and how they give, either as a company, a family, or individual? Is there a trend or a common thread there?
Not so much of a common thread. I'd say most of our clients are very connected to their communities. And so they're giving, they're being asked by Kiwanis, by Vike, you know, various organizations for helping on various causes that they want to be not only help, but also be recognized for helping. And so they end up getting a lot of kudos when they see the results of helping wounded warriors or helping battered women, right, battered children. And so,
okay, I get it. Hey, you know, I always ask a question for all my guests. What's one of the most comical or tragic things you've witnessed as it relates to charitable giving?
Oh my goodness. Comical or tragic? I don't know of any tragic. Comical. I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank now. I just see a lot of really, interesting, fun, people are very gratified that they can help and get a lot of kudos from being able to help others.
Okay. Yeah. Joel, you've been so kind to be here with us today. Joel has offered 10 books for his Giving Transforms You. And the first 10 people that go to our website and write on book, they'll get one of those today. Joel, that's been great having you here today. How can our listeners reach out to you if they have other questions?
Well, I'll be more than happy to answer any other questions. They can reach me at jbaker@jrbakergroup.com.
Okay. jbaker@jrbakergroup.com. Perfect. Thanks so much for being here. And thanks, Joel, for joining us today and sharing with us your expertise and perspectives. Every week, we endeavor to earn your trust and provide valuable information that makes a difference to you. If you agree, please share our program with other friends and family. If you missed one of our value-packed shows or want to share with others, we are now posting previous shows on our website, ariloans.com. For questions or comments about this show or other Credit Connection questions, go to our website, ariloans.com, or call us at 805-686-2321. Leave your questions and we'll get to them on next week's show or contact you directly. Thank you for tuning in to the Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. I'm your host, David Brown, from High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. See you next week with another interesting Credit Connection topic.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.